see what happens. Oh, here we are. Okay. Hey. Hello, hello. I'm going. I'm on the air. Happy New Year. Thank you, Mark. Bye-bye. Hey, everybody. Well, what do you know? Here we are. This is Mo Abdelbaki, and do you like live radio? I like live radio, and it's the best stuff in the world. You want to hear the theme song?
Welcome to Mo's Paisley Penny Arcade.
I want to hear it.
1, 2, 3, 4.
There you go. It's official. 2024 has begun with technical difficulties, but we made it. We're on the air. And how are you doing? I hope you're doing well. I'm doing well. And well enough. You know, well enough. So today, thank you, Mark. Mark Husson helped me get on the air. There was a technical glitch. What better way to start after several weeks off the air than coming on with a bit of a tightrope? But we got on the air just about 3 minutes late. That's not a problem, is it? Is it a problem? It isn't for me. I think that's just fine. I tried to get on the air and said, "You can't get on. It's impossible. It's forbidden. You may not get on the air." So Happy New Year. I say that because it is still Happy New Year, because it's the first time I've spoken to you. Today is the 24th of January of the year 2024. So it is 24-24. That seems important, doesn't it? Well, does it? You tell me. You're the metaphysical physical type. Great honk. We're all metaphysical types here, aren't we? Can't we all just talk amongst ourselves and decide, are we metaphysical types or what? I think we are. I think we're all metaphysical types, right? We all are. I think we all are. And that's kind of the deal. I like to be metaphysical. I think you like to be metaphysical. So that's why you listen to 1-2 Radio, which I think is kind of a far-out thing. You know, a lot of these metaphysical radio shows and podcasts are like, you got music in the background. It's like, well, today I'm going to talk to you about... Oh, wait a minute. Let me do it right. You know, whatever. There's this music in the background. Or maybe you've got something like this. Even better. You know, and then there's this other stuff going on. It's like... And then they brought in the dog bones. And the dog bones, they were crunchy. And something else was lunchy. And, you know, and then there's sounds of waves crashing against the shore. Crash. Crash, crash. And it's all so very metaphysical. La, 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 la. Now, some of you maybe like that stuff. I don't. Okay. I just can't stand it. I can't stand it. The immortal words of Lena Lamont from Singing in the Rain, which I consider to be one of the best movies ever made. That's a movie that always, no matter what type of mood I'm in, it's either that or Harvey. I watch Harvey, you know, I can watch Singing in the Rain or Harvey, and that's my Jimmy Stewart imitation. I have my apologies to everyone who happens to like real movies. So here we are in the year 2024. Oh, stop it, Mo. Just stop it. What are we doing? Oh, yeah, 2024. So, we have these things going on with metaphysicians. We are metaphysicians. And I'm going to talk a lot about that this year. Why not? And I'll probably forget about it. And the Paisley Penny Arcade will just be some sort of weirdness, you know. What was that flute? Oh, don't ask. I'm not going to talk about it right now. Uh-oh, my eyes have fallen upon my Oscar Mayer weenie whistle. No, I'm not going to pick it up and blow it. I'm not. I want to. You have no idea how much I want to pick up that Oscar Mayer wiener whistle and blow it. But I'm not going to. So today is 24-24. 1-24-24. And that, why is that a big deal? I think in numbers a lot of the time, even though I'm not that great a mathematician. And it's a thing called gematria. Gematria. And not as in the Judaic practice of gematria, but in the Hermetic practice of gematria. Remember, I studied Aleister Crowley for about 50 years, 45 to 50. And in doing so, you learn a lot about gematria. And gematria is the study of numbers. Yeah, just basic numbers. And in studying numbers, what you end up doing is you deal with the concept that numbers say that if words have different numbers, and you're using the Hebrew alphabet, there's English gematria, there's Greek gematria. And what that means is that you take a word and you break it down into its numbers. Right? So does that make sense? So what you do is you say, okay, here are the numbers of a word. So let's say we have a word like dog. Okay? Dog. And so let's see, what would the gematria be of dog? Well, let's see, D is 4, O is 70. This is all in Hebrew. And G is going to be 3. So we have 4 and 3 is 7, and 70 is 77. So we say everything that has a number of 77, we're using, English letters, so I know it doesn't make sense. But everything that has a number of 77 is going to have some connection between it. So we have 77. So we say dog, and we say, okay, so what has a number of 77? Well, dog. God has a number of 77. So we can say, what is the relationship between dog and God? Well, we could say, for example, that dog is to God as God is to dog. And we could say, well, wait a minute. Are we saying that, you know, we say, well, there are people who say that mankind is to that God is to man as man is to dog. But in our society, where pet food and pet products are about a $15-16 billion a year, probably more than that now, I read that years ago, probably $20-30 billion a year business, that, you know, our pets have become kind of, I love my dog, and my dog is like everything to me. I love her completely and totally. But they're completely, and they love unconditionally, as God is said to love unconditionally. And they are very close to nature, as God is close. And so you could do that, right? And if there was another name, like another word like agud or a dog, adug, you could say, okay, it's the same thing. And this is a very powerful way of discovering how things are connected in the universe. And it really is phenomenal, and it works splendiferously. So, for example, if we wanted to look at the number 24, as in today is the day 24, the 24th day of January, and it is going to be 2024, all year. So let me grab my copy of 777, which is Sefer Sephiroth and Other Kabbalistic Writings of Aleister Crowley. And let me take a look at this. Get some of these. You go to the number 24. Let me get down to 24. Now I'm wearing my computer glasses, which means that they're for far, far things away. And here I'm holding a book that is a near thing away. And go to 24. I'm looking at 44. I'm jumping several guns at that point, and I don't like guns. That's just me. I mean, I know they're necessary. 24. He whom I love. Well, there are a lot of he's whom I love. That's a nice thing to think about. I loved my dad. I loved my brothers. I have to call my brother. I have a brother who's not doing very well. I love my son. I love my grandsons. I have twin grandsons. I have another grandson whom I love very much. I'm a blessed man. There it is. I just had a revelation. If you think about he whom you love, and it doesn't have to be like, you know, thumpa, 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 your heart is beating. Think about those whom you love, man or woman, and you realize how very blessed you are in life. My friend Mark, I love my friend Mark, he whom I love. And I realize how very, very blessed I am in this world to have anyone to love. Boy, have I got a story to tell you. I'll tell you that in just a minute if I remember. Remind me if I don't. And then the very next word, the word here is he whom I love is Ahebba. Ahebba. Wow. It's my brother's name, Ehab. It's also the name of the captain of the Pequod, Ahab. Ahebba, he whom I love. The beloved one is really kind of how that goes. And it's kind of the same word without the second vo. That's interesting. That's fascinating. And so you look at that word again, and it's he who loves me. And you say, well, gosh, in the year 2024, think about the people who love me. Who loves me? Who are the people who love me? Well, my son loves me, and my grandsons love me, and my granddaughter loves me, and my other granddaughter loves me, and my daughter loves me, and my wife loves me, presumably. And, you know, there are people who love me. You know, my mom loved me, well, when I was in my right mind, and, well, when I did what she wanted, you know, that sort of thing. I mean, it was not all love is conditional. Yes, almost all love is conditional, except my dog loves me all the time. Trudy loves me all the time. And there you go, just like God. God is supposed to love us all the time. For me, God is nature, you know. Trees love me all the time, or they don't love me all the time. That you can't tell. And if one were to be blown over in a storm, it would crush me whether it loved me or not. That's just the fact. That's the truth, as Aleister Crowley said. Nature is blind. Blind nature. Blind forces of nature. That no matter how favored you are by the elemental forces, they're going to crush you. That's just the way it is. And that's how it should be, I think. That's how it should be. Now, that's just one of those things, right? I mean, we get into philosophical discussions. A mercurial god. Aha. That's also 24. Well, there we are. That's what we're talking about, right? I didn't even think about that. We're talking about a mercurial god. See, this Sefer Sephiroth is a book that is, first of all, the 777 is a compilation of all these writings of Aleister Crowley's about numbers, 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 numbers. And it has this, well, that's what 777 is. Sefer Sephiroth is this collection of numbers. And it's said that he didn't actually put this together, but he kind of put it together. It's in the Equinox, which is a 10-volume series of books that I happen to have. And so it's pretty far out. If you really get into reading this stuff, you begin to understand things about metaphysical works and what we call occultism that you're going to go, oh, that's why we think this. Oh, that's why this symbol is in Tarot. Oh, that's why a pomegranate is there. Oh, that's why, that's why, that's why. And it all means basically nothing, but it's fun to know, you know? So we can look at that, a mercurial god. When you think about that, you know, a mercurial god whose essence is the number 8, it says. And you think about that, you think, why 8? Well, that has to do with Mercury, doesn't it? But that's on the tree of life. That's something completely different. Substance, a body. So maybe in this year, that's another one of the things that has a number down to 24. So when I think about substance and a body, I think, well, 24, maybe what I'll do is try and lose some weight this year. I can do that by meditating. I did it before. I lost well over 100 pounds just by meditating twice a day. And maybe we'll talk about that a little bit. You know, people are taking Ozempic and they're taking LaGuardia or whatever that stuff is, where that large woman, I looked her up. She's an actress. Her name is Anne Hurd, I think her name is, or Anna Hurd. And I thought, wow, she's actually an actress and she's doing very well for herself with these commercials and so on. And I thought, wow, good for you. It was kind of fascinating what's going on in this country with these weight loss medicines. I had a friend who talked to your doctor about LaGuardia or whatever its name is. And he did that and he went on it and he had to get off of it because he said he was peeing all the time. He literally, this is distasteful, but he had to carry around a big gulp cup because he was afraid he wouldn't make it. So he just stopped taking the drug. But people are using these drugs to lose weight, and God bless you if you are, and it's working. I did it through meditation, and I imagine if I started meditating twice a day again. My problem was I lost my sense of humor. Now, if I kept up and remain and thought about not losing my sense of humor, I think I probably wouldn't this time, because everything became quite literal, you know, and that I didn't want to not laugh. That kind of is one of the byproducts. And the thing is, you don't find the things that other people may find funny anymore, because it's like a lot of humor, unfortunately, is based upon cruelty. We'll get into that some other time. But it's substance, a body, and you think about that, and it's a pauper. That's the same number based on this Hebrew numerology. A pauper. So hopefully there will be some thought about others. We have to become more conscious of others. I've seen that happening here in Denver area where I live in Colorado. There is definitely a lot of movement toward people who no longer have homes and trying to find homes for them. The mayor of Denver is buying up residences. He's buying hotels and making them residences for the unhomed, you know, which is what we used to call the homeless. But I like the unhomed better. I've been on the streets a little bit, and that's just it's not a fun place to be at all. It's a scary place to be. The Angel of Chesed, yeah, that's not, we're not going to talk about that right now. Abundance, that's a good thing for it to be about. Abundance, that's a good word. A water pot, a large earthenware vessel. Now, these are taken from the Torah, you know, these words. I was real kind of skeptical about it, so I bought a concordance of the Bible, and I thought, okay, the Hebrew Bible. And I said, okay, I'm going to check this out, and I did. And sure enough, they did it. Every word is in here, so I trust it, right? So you put all this together, and you think, you just ponder this. What does an large earthenware vessel have to do with it? Well, you can go right to the I Ching, can't you? And you can say, well, two, Kun is number two, the second hexagram, is also a large vessel, though it's a cauldron. It doesn't have to be earthenware. It can be a lot of things. And so is the Ding, right? The Ding is a hexagram, and that's a very holy vessel. But it's usually iron. It's used in rituals. So there's something begins to come through, and you contemplate this, and you contemplate this, and you contemplate this. For example, a friend had drawn a couple of I Chings, and one of them was the 19th Lin, the 19th hexagram, which is approach. And I thought, man, that's always been a kind of a tricky one to figure out. How do you approach that? Ha ha, that's a good one. How do you approach? And so what I do is even though I've known the I Ching since I was literally like in the eighth grade, that's when I was introduced with it. It's a great story. I've told that many times. I won't bother you with that today, but great story of how that was introduced to me by the universe. I'm quite certain of it, but I've been with it ever since. And so the image is of, and there are images in the I Ching due to the fact that there are two hexagrams, and each hexagram, or each trigram, I'm sorry, each trigram represents something in nature. And in this hexagram is made up of two trigrams, a lake underneath the earth. And so you just sit with it and you let it go through your head. You let it kind of bounce off your mind, off your psyche. And I have a very strong ability to visualize because I've been doing it for most of my life in school when I should have been, you know, listening and maybe studying and maybe reading and maybe paying attention. I would be off, la-di-da-di-da, paying attention to my imagination and doing other things and seeing whatever I wanted to see. And so you just kind of think, okay, what does this mean? What is this lake? And the lake is fresh water. That's the thing, is that it's fresh water, but it's underneath the ground. So you want to get this fresh water above the ground so that people can have fresh water. How do you do that? How do you do that? So you think about it, and you think about it, and you think about it. And it's a bit of a dilemma, isn't it? I mean, it really is a dilemma. What are you going to do? How do you do that? And eventually the idea comes, and you know suddenly what that's about for you. You say, I've got it now. I've got it. What is my duty to mankind? What is my duty to humankind? Not just mankind, to humankind, womankind, every kind, right? What is my duty? What is my duty to the planet? What is my duty to the animals on the planet, to the environment? And that's what the I Ching is really about. It's about duty. What is our duty to each other? What is the right thing to do? It's all about right action. If you're going to ask the I Ching, how can I rip off my neighbor? It's not going to be very friendly to you. It may give you an idea of what to do, and then you may find yourself in prison, because that is the ethic behind the I Ching, is that you should be doing the right thing. And it's a brilliant book. I mean, there's just no doubt about it. It is a brilliant piece of work, the classic of changes. If you've never messed around with the I Ching, I guarantee you, or guarantee, as Justin Wilson used to say, and I lived in Louisiana for years, and trust me, there are people down there really something. Anyway, so the idea here is that when you look at these numbers, they really do kind of come all together, and you begin to see a pattern. He whom I love, right? Oh, this is also the number of the elders of the apocalypse. Now, I'm not even going to begin to try and figure out what the heck that means. So don't worry about it. Everyone says, oh, the apocalypse. Don't worry about that. Although the way the world is now, you're probably thinking, oh, no. Don't worry about it. He whom I love, he who loves me, a mercurial god, whose essence is the number 8. And that's because 8 is on the tree of life, that is Mercury. So that's why we can say that. Substance, a body, a pauper, the angel of Chesed, which happens to be connected to Jupiter. And abundance, and a water pot, a large earthenware vessel. And yet just let your mind run as it will. And you just imagine all this stuff. That's contemplation. Meditation is something quite different, right? That's contemplation, where you just let it bounce off your brain. And meditation is completely different. Maybe we'll talk about that at some point. So now, since it's 24-24 today, I'm going to go to the number. 24-24 is obviously 48. At least it was this morning. And even though things do change, they do change. I will go in my lovely old book. Now, when I bought this, well, that was a gift from my ex-wife, who one day just went into the tattered cover and bought all the, that was a famous bookstore here, bought all the books on Crowley she could find, and I was very grateful. It was $12.50 at that time. I'll bet you couldn't touch this book for that much. But that was a great thing she did at the time. I was thrilled. I was pretty broke at the time. Now, 44 is drops. Yeah, and a pool, pond, sorrow. A pool, a pond, and sorrow. Those are all words that have the same, it's essentially the same word. So it's like pear and pear. Actually, that's not right at all, because this is actually spelled the same way. Captive and captivity. So we can look at that. Aquarius. I know there's something happening in Western astrology in Aquarius. There might be in Vedic, too. Blood, Dem. Oh, yeah. Blood, Dem. That's right. 44, Adam. Do you know the word Adam is Aleph Dem, which means first blood. Aleph being the first letter. And Dem, Adam. Adam means the first blood. So does that make sense? The first blood. Yeah, far out. That's the first. And Beni Adam is an Arabic word meaning, probably also Hebrew, meaning people. And that means the sons of Adam, or the children of Adam, actually, but actually means sons. So you gotta, yeah, it's kind of, yeah, I know. Don't blame me. Sand, scorpion, pentacle, and the king of swords, or knight of swords. Yeah, that's far out. A ram. Not a whole lot. Flame. That's interesting. Yeah. Lebum. Oh, that's interesting. So you put all that together, and they spell much more than you might think. And you think about it. You let everything you know about everything kind of filter down, including Tarot and the Knight of Swords and all that stuff. And so I don't see as much there. But then if you add one to it for January, you have the intelligence of Saturn, which, like I said, Aquarius is ruled by Saturn. And you have Adam, a new beginning, right? You have the Fool in Tarot. Oh, my goodness, new beginnings, redemption, liberation, to grow warm, hesitated, spirit of Saturn again, the intelligence of Saturn, the spirit of Saturn, strongly, greatly, you can go on and on. And so this is gematria, and I've been studying this stuff for so long. I don't mean I've just been doing it for a long time. I was introduced to this sort of work by my druid friend in college, and he initiated me into his stuff, into druidism, and he just, you know, bestowed upon me, you are now a druid priest. And I bestowed upon him, you are now a crazy person like me. And we were both crazy people. And I was obsessed with his stuff, and he was obsessed with mine. And I hope he's doing beautifully, because he was a beautiful person. I really, really loved him. He got in with my crowd. It was the wrong crowd to get in with, because they were cynics. And I was a cynic at the time. So this is what I'm going to kind of mess with this on the air a little bit this year, because I think it's fascinating to look at these things. 48 is also fat, to grow warm, right? Fat, to grow warm. 24 and 24. I was in the wrong place. Strength, an army. I don't like that. To grow warm, heat, fire. Oh, Ham, the son of Noah. Ham, the son of Noah. Hamites. The Hamites were supposedly the ancient Egyptians. And they were, they're going to open up the Grand Egyptian Museum this year, a new one. The Jubilee. Oh, the Jubilee. The Jubilee is when everyone is going to get to be together again. That's weird. You can go as far as you want with this, or as short as you want with this, but it's a fascinating thing. I like it much more than normal numerology, just because you can really do some fun stuff with it. Magnificence, glory. Oh, that's a good one. That's a good one. So, to everyone, Happy New Year, or Happy New Year. Depending on how you do things. Let me put this book back on the shelf. There it is. There's certain books I keep close by. My I Ching, I actually have in the other room. I have a bookshelf next to my chair, and it's in the bookshelf next to my chair. If I had my druthers, I would have a bookshelf everywhere in the house where I walk and by my chair, and there would be just bookshelves lining the walls. So here's my story. So over the hiatus, I found myself mentally itchy. Do you know what that means? Mentally itchy? Just mentally itchy. And I was like going a little bit nuts because I was still writing for the Power Peak. And I love to do that. And I love writing for the Power Peak. But I wasn't able to talk to you guys. And it's good to be back. But I just started writing one night in a notebook. I have usually about four different notebooks, sometimes five, but usually at least four different notebooks. I have four notebooks and a journal and now another journal. Don't ask. And I write longhand, and I write with fountain pens, you know, pens with different color inks. And because you have to keep the colors different, because otherwise, you know, what are you up to? And so I just started writing a story. That's it. Just started writing just a story. And before I knew it, the story had turned into a story about a friend of mine, an old friend of mine that I met my first year out of high school and college. And my first year out of high school and college, I went to a junior college called Foothills Junior College in Los Altos Hills, California. My family moved out down there. My dad had a sabbatical at Stanford University. And he did some work at Berkeley. And it was a great year. It was a great year all the way around. It was probably the happiest I ever saw my mom, and because she just loved being there. We lived in, you know, like an apartment in the beginning, then we moved to another apartment on Stanford campus, and that was pretty cool. And this was before Palo Alto, California, which is where Stanford is, was Palo Alto, the Palo Alto of today. It was just this little college town. Where it was no big deal, except that, like, the Grateful Dead were from there. And I actually bought a ukulele pick at the very music store that Jerry Garcia used to teach guitar in. Had I known that, who knows what I would have done. I mean, they were already famous by then, but, you know, I might have, who knows what I would have done. Maybe, you know, begged for a piece of tile or something. Who knows? You know, I'm strange. But yes, I know, it's very strange. But I met this guy in school, and he was 14 years my senior. I was 18, he was 32. And we hit it off, and we had just this wonderful friendship that blossomed. And I knew a lot of people, I met a lot of people that year. I'm that kind of guy. And I started writing about him and met his girlfriend, and he had a 600-pound pet pig, and it's a long story. But the more I wrote about a particular incident going to a Chinese restaurant in Chinatown in San Francisco and so on, the more I really missed him. The more I really, really missed him. And I, you know, on the internet, you can't get a phone number for free. You just can't. It's just, I mean, unless you're willing to pay for some service and this and that. And plus, I didn't even know. I mean, I'm, you know, 69. He would be 83. And I thought, God, is he even still alive? So I, you know, did as much research as I could. And he's moved, I'm sure, from there. Because the piece of property he lived on was an old orchard house, you know, and he was... he didn't own it, and he, wow. I mean, the last time I talked to him was 30 years ago on the phone, and that property would be worth now, today, I'm sure, literally hundreds of millions of dollars, because it was a big, big property, and it had been an orchard, and someone else was, you know, getting apples off of it. And I know this guy, you know, he said someday this is going to be worth a lot of money because they'll put houses here. And I thought, man, yeah, they're going to do that everywhere. That's horrible. And of course, that's exactly what happened. But, and he had to move eventually. But it was like, oh, come on. I mean, I wanted to find him. Couldn't get the number. I was talking to my sister who actually lives out there. And she said to her husband, you can get that number, can't you? And he said, sure, I can get that number. And it took him half a second. Literally, half a second. And he had the phone number, and I thought, oh my God, he's 83. Is he gonna remember me? Is this even him? I don't know if this is him. Same name, but I don't have any idea. So I took a chance, got on the phone, left this, you know, remarkably stupid message. My name is Mo, and I may have known you 50 years ago. 50 years ago. And we talked maybe about 30 years ago. You know, that type of thing. And if I've disturbed you, I'm really, really sorry if you don't know me. The next day, it was him, and he called. Oh, my goodness. He called. And it was wonderful. It was wonderful. Like we'd never stopped. And we were talking. He always had a very slow cadence to his talk. The guy's a genius, you know, a genius. And just this wonderful mind and such a cool guy. Oh, man. And so we're talking away, and he had a collection of books that numbered in, well, at the time, 65,000, and he hasn't stopped collecting yet, and, you know, still has all the books. And so we're talking away, and I said, you know, I was a talker. I bet you couldn't guess that. And I said, yeah, as you can tell, I'm still a motor mouth. He said, yeah, I can tell. Just, that was so wonderful. So the story is to say that there is benefit in writing what's in your mind, in your heart. The story is really going somewhere. I'm not sure you quite where yet. I ended up writing about Sam Woe. Now, if you don't know about Sam Woe, the restaurant, maybe you live in the Bay Area, you probably know about it. At the time when I was there, it was on Washington Street, 813 Washington Street, to be precise. We went across the street to a place called the Pacific Cafe, I think it was called. He couldn't remember the name of it, but I remember it pretty well. It was good food. And he speaks Cantonese, or did, and so he was treated like, you know, a native. And didn't have to pay the exorbitant, well, he paid, you know, like down home fees. But I never went to Sam Woe. They had what was known as the world's rudest waiter. The world's rudest waiter, a guy named Edsel Ford Fung. And Edsel Ford Fung delighted in treating people horridly. And he especially didn't like hippie freaks like me. I was a hippie freak. After the Summer of Love, hippies were not a welcome sight in Chinatown. In fact, in most of San Francisco. Mainly because of the fact that they had become terrible panhandlers and were going through dumpsters and sitting in doorways and panhandling off of tourists who had come to Chinatown to, you know, gawk, and they were shoplifters. And so if we'd gone into Sam Woe, which is this restaurant, it would have been pretty bad, I think. Eventually, Sam Woe was shut down by the health department. They found rat poopies in the kitchen, and you had to walk right through the kitchen to get to a place to sit. But so he spared me that indignity. But if you have something that's in your heart, let's say, I think everyone should just start writing a story without any idea of what to do with it or where it's going to go or where you're going to, you know, it doesn't matter. I think everyone should write from the heart. Why? Because we all have a story, and we all have a story to tell. I mean, I write every week. I write every week for the Power Peak, and I've been writing for the Power Peak well over a decade. And I had a major computer, you know, kerfuffle, just a crash. And I think I lost most of what I have. But if I had every one of those, a lot of them were, I mean, I didn't start out writing what I would consider to be with any skill whatsoever. You know, it was, as a friend of mine put it, he just said, use too many adjectives. You know, it's like, Oh, please, take the dagger out of my gizzard, you know? But he was right. I go back and read some of that stuff, and I just cringe. Maybe someday I'll put all these things together and have this massive tome the Out of Moe's Mind, which is the name of the column, because that was the name of my radio show back then. Out of Moe's Mind. Oh, so clever. But we have these stories within us. I named the chapter The Pillar of Fire, and I haven't quite found the pillar yet, but I have a pretty idea where it's going. And it's wondrous to just let your mind wander and to just write. I mean, I've written all these pages about Chris and his girlfriend at the time, about going to dinner, at the Pacific Cafe on Washington Street across the street from Sam Woe, and about his car and about his 600-pound pet pig, who, it's a remarkable thing. And I don't know if this is a story that will ever get published or not. It doesn't matter to me. It's a delight for me to write about it. And I think that you might be surprised at what you have within you. I'm not writing with the idea of, oh, this is something that has to be passed on. You know, I don't think it does. I am finding, and then it incented me. I couldn't not find him. I had to find out, is he still around? At the age of 83, he hasn't lost one brain cell at all. He's still as sharp as he ever was. And we've decided to stay in touch, to talk from time to time, which made me so happy. My goodness, what a gift life is. What a gift this existence is. What a gift our friends are. And you guys are my friends, you know, that I get to talk to you and just rant on like a madman. What a joy this is. I've missed this. I've missed you. I've missed being able to talk to you. It's been a wonderful experience this whole time over the past, whatever it's been. And such a remarkable experience it's been. This is a phenomenal thing we have, our lives. If you've kept up with the news, you know that it hasn't been overjoy filled. Sounds like a group from the 60s, doesn't it? Yeah, Nick's coming up with their hit, Strawberry Eyeballs is overjoy filled. Here they go, heavy organ, guitar. Strawberry eyeballs staring me in the face, on from there. I have a place in my mind where it's always like that. You wouldn't believe. I actually have I use Spotify. And I have an entire list of that I call trippy, of just 60s psychedelic music that I absolutely love. The songs are, not all of them are all trippy. Did you know that, if you've never heard the song Yellow Balloon by The Yellow Balloon, it was supposed to be the next phase in beach music. Beach, as in the Beach Boys, as in Jan and Dean. It was actually kind of written for Jan and Dean. Good Vibrations was like 67, and that was supposed to be the next phase of the beach songs, the Beach Boys with Brian Wilson. He was brilliant. He had his issues, but that was their pet sounds. That album was supposed to be like, this is where we're going with the sounds of, All Summer Long and Round, Round, Get Around, those songs. Her Daddy Takes Her T-Bird Away and all that. They were going to go into this whole new phase of sounds. And Yellow Balloon was actually written more or less for, it was written for Jan and Dean. But they had so many different versions of it, and they were trying to get into the, let's try this. There was a whole thing called Sunshine Pop, and you've probably heard some Sunshine Pop songs like Spanky and Our Gang, What is that song called? Lazy Day, which is a phenomenal song if you're from that time and period. You know, it's like, oh, I'm so happy. And you have to say, how could someone be that happy? And then you go, oh, I get it. You know, it kind of, you go, oh, I understand now. It was a beautiful time, friends. My goodness. Even if you weren't, I mean, I was too young for a lot of what they were talking about, but I got that age, and I got that age. But it was a beautiful time back then. I mean, yeah, there was a horrible war going on, but it was a beautiful, beautiful time. My goodness, 67, 66, 68, there were some things going on in this country, and there were problems. But man, oh man, oh man, oh man. And some of the music that came out of it, holy mackerel, it was so lovely. And so I put together this, there's a song that's very cool. It's called Wait Till the Morning Sunshine, I think is what it's called, by The Idle Race. That's a great song. It's real kind of weird. It's trippy. A song called Dandelion Seeds by July. And that's real trippy, you know. Donovan did a lot of songs that were, you know, well, they were trippy, you know. there's just a lot of songs that were just kind of trippy, you know. And, yeah, they were. Return of the Native, or what's called San Francisco Girls, that's one of those songs. And there were groups like Big Brother and the Holding Company, and you know, you just listen to those songs and you just go, oh man, oh, what a time. And I remember those days, I remember those years. I was so impressionable. You have no idea. No idea how impressionable I was. Some of us really were impressionable. I'm still a part of that world. I'm still, because that was the world that opened up to me, tarot and astrology, more tarot than anything. I was fascinated with it, and magic, you know, the whole concept of magic and seances, and I mean, that was it, you know. That was the world. And the song Somebody to Love by Jefferson Airplane, that was really kind of an anthem for me because I felt unloved. Now, you've probably all felt unloved from time to time. I think we've all felt that way. You know, when the truth is found to be lies and all the joy within you dies, don't you want somebody to love? And that became a very important song to me. And I didn't, all I had was a transistor radio, you know. So when you heard it, it was like, oh, there we go, you know. There were some really great songs. Jimi Hendrix. Oh, I know people today say, oh, Hendrix is, you know, he's something or the other. But he's not. He was incredible. He was an incredible musician, and people didn't really, the Doors. Oh, I know. I'm an old man, but let me tell you what. Did we get it? We had something back then. It was hope, and it was understanding of the potential for what could come. And we had other things too. And even a song as silly, seemingly silly as The Rain, The Park, and Other Things by the Cowsills. Man, that song was just about love. You know, falling in love with a girl sitting on a bench. You know? Sitting on a, if you've never heard it, The Rain, The Park, and Other Things by the Cowsills. Guys walking through a park, and of course we all knew it was Golden Gate Park. We all knew that. Golden Gate Park, had to be Golden Gate Park, you know, or some park in San Francisco or something where there are a bunch of hippies. And she's sitting in the park and it's raining and he falls in love with the flower girl. And she's gone when the rain stops. And it's like, oh, I get that, you know. Or Hello, Hello by the Sopwith Camel, which was the first real hippie song on the radio. 1967, February of 67. That was like the shot that was heard around the world. It's like, that was weird. And that was my theme song on my show, Out of Moe's Mind, for a long, long time. You know, and those were the days. That was about then. I go back and listen to Those Were the Days now. I was a kid when it came out, you know. I was in junior high, I think, and now I listen to it. It just brings tears to my eyes because those were the days, you know. Season of the Witch by Donovan. Holy mackerel. These are songs that can take me right out of here and put me right back there, you know. There's some pretty amazing stuff going on back then. And it's, you know, I know I'm saying, what is he saying? There's some pretty amazing stuff. Why? Because time is, in today's world, time is really kind of always available. Listen to Candles in the Rain, also known as Lay Down, by Melanie Sofka. It's about Woodstock, which was in 69. And it's a great song. It's an amazing song. And if that doesn't blow your mind, you know, about these people at Woodstock who, you know, it was raining and they lit candles to, you know, and I mean, it's just, I don't know. I'm an old hippie. As I say, old hippies don't die. We just fade into the paisley. And I hope that's how it is. I hope I just become part of the paisley, you know? It was really something for me. I got lost. Our car got towed away because I parked in the wrong place. When we went to Chinatown one time, I went with my parents, and we suddenly saw our car getting towed away, and I thought, oh, God. So I had to take a bus to go get the car, and it, down to Turk Street. It was a rough district. And I suddenly found myself standing at the corner of Haight-Ashbury, and I just took a short little walk down to the Grateful Dead house. You know, they have like Doberman pincers, and you know, because they're not there anymore. And oh, man, I'm an old man, yeah, but there's a part of me that is still, I feel very young. You should be feeling very young, however old you are. I'm sure there's somebody out there who know those people, you know, who know Bob Weir and Phil Lesh and all those people, and you know, maybe who knew Jerry. My friend knew some of these people. He hung out with, you know, he grew up in the area and he knew famous people. It happens that way. Our lives are pretty incredible. I've had a rather amazing life, and I plan on continuing to have an amazing life. Even if I never do anything else again, it'll be amazing every single day. Why? Because I'm here now. And so are you. So sorry about the walk down, you know, memory lane and all that misery, but we are fascinating beings. There's no doubt about it. Our lives are absolutely fascinating. Okay. I've taken up enough valuable time. Till next week. And I'll be back next week. Hopefully I'll be on time, you know. There won't be any glitches. I wish you a wonderful week filled with love. Those who love you and those whom you love. Know that I love you. Till next time, I wish you peace and love. Bye.
Until next we meet, I'll be waiting for you right here in the Paisley Penny Arcade. 1, 2, 3, 4.